Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in this gospel today, Jesus was about to take off on a journey to leave town with his disciples. And who knows when he would be back again, returning. So this man, he runs to catch him. He runs out to catch him before he leaves. He gets up there, he cuts off Jesus and the disciples on the road and kneels down at his feet, and he asks the question, the burning question that he's been seeking his whole life, the one question, the question, Rabbi, what do I need to do to have eternal life? And they have this exchange where Jesus says, you know the commandments at the end. The man says, yes, Rabbi, I know I've kept all these since my youth. But even so, he senses that something is missing, that there's something more. And from this, we can see that presumably then he's a good man. He's a faithful man. And so in the story, Jesus looks at him intently, and it says Jesus loved him and says to him, all right, you lack one thing. I want to pause the story here for a moment and imagine with me this man's excitement and hopefulness. This question he's been wondering about, that's been burning inside him, that he's been longing for, and Jesus says, all right, there's just one thing missing. You can imagine his excitement and hopefulness. Finally, the one answer to that nagging question that's been hanging on his heart all these years. But then Jesus keeps going. He says, give up everything you own, give it away to the poor, and then you will be free to come and follow me. I have to wonder at this point, did Jesus think that maybe he would say yes? Was Jesus hopeful that this man would actually do it? He probably knew he would, but I have to think he hoped. Here stands this man in one of those critical moments, one of those opportunities of a lifetime. Jesus gives him the opportunity and the invitation to come and be a part of the most significant movement in all of human history, to follow the Son of God. And in a split second, he has to make this decision that will forever change his life. And what does he do? Well, we see the story. He simply walks away, sad. He doesn't even say a word. He simply turns and goes home. Back to an ordinary life, back to what's probably a good life and a comfortable life and even a faithful life. But now it's a life of wondering, what if? What if I had said yes? Have you ever had a moment like that in your life? I know I have. Those moments where you sense that Jesus is calling you to something different, something new, something crazy yet remarkable, but it's a little too nebulous and foggy out front and we're not quite sure, and so we play it safe and turn and walk away, and then we're left to wonder. With this man, I like to imagine what would things look like if it had played out different in his life. What if he had said yes? You notice he's anonymous. He doesn't get a name in the story. If he had said yes, you better believe we would know his name. It's almost a guarantee that his history would be written down in the scriptures for all of us to know and see, just like Peter or just like Paul. All of these other 12 apostles that we know so well, we hear the stories of when Jesus said to them, follow me, and they left everything and followed him. But this today is the story of the man to whom Jesus said, follow me, and he said, I can't. I can't do it. So I want to ask the question, why not? Why did he say no? Was it just because he was rich? You could argue that a little bit from the text. I mean, Jesus certainly says that that was a huge hang-up for this man in particular. But it's interesting, if we look close at the conversation, Jesus doesn't talk about that with him. I don't think it's just because he was wealthy. It seems that there was something deeper going on here, something more universal at play. Because Jesus doesn't fault him in their conversation for being wealthy. He doesn't criticize him. In fact, when Jesus lists the commandments, did you notice this? He's listing through the 10 commandments, and he says, as one of them, he says, do not defraud. Does anyone remember that being one of the 10 commandments? I hope not, because it's not. It's not there. It's like, did Jesus forget them for a moment? What's happening? It's like he's going out of his way to make sure that we know this man didn't come by his wealth by cheating others, by taking advantage of people. He was an honest, fair, and good man. So then what's going on? I think his wealth in the story here is just this visible manifestation of the real deeper root cause of why he couldn't follow Jesus, because it meant giving something up. Jesus says, you lack one thing. Give this thing that you're holding on to up. Let it go. In Christianity, especially in American Christianity today, I think that people, I hear often in the world, people think of spiritual life or spirituality or faith as sort of this optional add-on to life. It's like there's this buffet of life, and I'll take a little of this and a little of that and a little Jesus on the side of my plate. Here, it's like we see this as an improvement to make a pretty good life even better, and that seems to be kind of what this man was thinking. I've got all of this going on in my life, and it's all pretty good, but I sense there could be more. So if I just get this one additional thing, then I'll be fulfilled and all will be well. But the problem is, when it comes to following Jesus, it usually doesn't require adding more. What it usually requires is giving something up, letting go of whatever it is that you're tethered to, that holds you back, that keeps you from being free to go when Jesus says go. Jesus is saying in this story, if you want to seek the kingdom of God, you're going to have to give something up. Entering the kingdom doesn't mean adding more to the list of good things we already possess, but it means giving something up, leaving something, probably something that we value, behind, so that we will be free. And for this man in the story, pretty clearly it was his wealth, his possessions. They were his. He had control over them, and they were important to him. But imagine him trying to follow Jesus and live this life of discipleship and keep all of his business dealings going on the side, right? What would that look like? It sounds something like this. He'd have to say things like, Jesus, I can't make the trip to Galilee this weekend to cast out demons because I've got a meeting with my field managers. Can we look at the calendar and reschedule? It doesn't work that way, right? In fact, at the beginning of Mark's gospel, Jesus says this, the time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is now, not when it's convenient or when it works, it's now. It's like he's saying, if you want to live this life of discipleship, you will have to let go and be all in. What we see in the story is being half in really isn't being in at all. So the question I think this text makes us ask ourselves today is this, what is my tether? What is that thing that I want to keep control of? I think we all have one, maybe even two. This text isn't, I don't think, primarily just about wealth and this man. It's about you and me and whatever that thing is in our lives that we have trouble letting go of and trusting God and giving up. Even if Jesus himself stood right before you today and said, follow me, what would that thing be that would get in the way? Maybe for some of us, it's the track we're on for the future. Maybe it's a career path or plan that we don't want to veer from. Or maybe it's our own dreams or plans for our life and our future. Maybe for some of us, it is possessions and wealth. For some of us, it might be as simple as our comfort zone. It can be scary to step outside of that and leave it behind. Or maybe it's safety and security. But friends, I don't think this is a hypothetical question or a metaphor. I believe Jesus still comes to each of us today in our own way, no matter how young or how old we might be, no matter if we're rich or poor or somewhere in between, Jesus still comes and stands before us and says, I want you to let go of this, give it up, and follow me. So what is it that holds us back, that keeps us from saying yes? Even as a pastor, I have my own stuff that gets in the way sometimes. There are things that I want to control. There are dreams I have for my own life personally or for the ministry I'm in, certain markers of success that I have trouble letting go of and turning over to God where I want to control it. But Jesus says, until you let go of this thing and untether yourself from it, you won't be free. Free to enter the life I have for you, the fullest potential for your life as my disciple. And friends, I don't want to be like the man in this story today, like this young man. I don't want to be the one who turns my eyes to the dirt. I don't want to have just a good life or a decent life. And in fact, I have no interest in having a safe or comfortable life. I want a life that matters, a life of impact, a life with purpose. In short, my heart yearns for a kingdom life, the life that God created me to live, not the life I created for myself. And I think this doesn't just happen on an individual inside us, though. It can happen in community, in our life as a church together. Sometimes we have the same experience. Sometimes, as a church might have these holy moments, these defining opportunities where Jesus stands before the church beckoning, saying, I'm going here and I want you to follow. Come, follow me. And we want to follow Jesus, but sometimes we want to have our own way too, and we have things that hold us back. Maybe we want to follow Jesus when he says, come and follow me, but we also want to keep everyone happy, and those two things don't work together. I don't know if you noticed this in the Gospels, but Jesus doesn't really keep everyone happy very well. He usually has at least someone mad at him, right? We want to follow Jesus, but we want to have our worship look and feel just like this. Or we want to follow Jesus, but we also want to do everything we've always done without pruning anything or without risking new ministries. We want to follow Jesus, but we want to feel familiar and safe and comfortable. And we struggle with that. Following Jesus almost always means letting something go and stepping into something unknown. There was a time, friends, when Feed My Starving Children wasn't a household name at Good Shepherd. It's been around a long time, so it might be hard to remember, but there was a time when this was unfamiliar and new and unheard of. There was a time when Jesus said, I want you to follow me, but it was new and scary, and it meant letting something else go and making room and space for this new crazy idea. But friends, look at where we are today. All of these kids fed and saved because at some point Jesus said, follow me into this, and you all said yes. So what I want to leave us with today is this. To think about what might I be holding on to? What can I work on letting go of so that when the moment comes when Jesus says, follow me, I can say yes?